This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield. And people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one community at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are the people. You are the one to stop the totalitarians. Yeah, it takes only one person to do it. That's the formula. And you listen to this radio show, we'll kind of clue you in on how to do that. But the first thing you need to do is listen. Be a very good listener. I used to teach leadership to individuals, and I used to tell them the number one skill you have to hone as a leader is to listen. That's the number one most important skill that a leader has. So listen to the radio show. We'll fill you in on all the things that are happening. And certainly it's a very, very big news day here on Agenda 21 Radio. It seems like all of them are. We had the clash of Clinton and Trump last night for the first time. We've been doing a little bit of analysis on that, and we have a whole bunch of other things going on. We're trying to catch up to the world, but right now we have apparently a large financial crisis that has been brewing for quite some time. We heard from Red Smith in the previous hour. Now we have with us our very own financial consultant and co-host here of Agenda 21 Radio and Breitbart contributor, Chris Street. And Chris, so what in the world is going on with D-Bank, Deutsche Bank?
Well, once again, Deutsche Bank might as well be an extension of the German government, because basically Germany found out a way to conquer Europe without using panzers, and that was to essentially take over the currency. So when you look at the European Union, there was only one country that really sponsored the EU. There was one country that drove the process of the EU, and there was one country who promised to completely backstop the EU, and that was Germany.
Gotcha. So financially, to backstop the EU, they were the ones that were the chosen ones to do it.
Chosen one. That's the Germans think they are the chosen people.
I know.
V will do it my way. V will do it my way.
Right.
They make some great stuff, but they're very inflexible, high-tech engineers, but sometimes people give them a lot more credit than they deserve, because the Germany is an undefensible country. And people go, what are you talking about, the German army? Well, for, 2,000 years, people marched across Germany rather easily. The Poles, the Huns, everybody, got a piece of Germany, whether it was the Romans, because it's really sort of a flat country. It's got a little bit of mountains in one side. But generally, you can, it's nice flat plains. You can just ride or run or drive across it.
Anybody who's been to Berlin and stand in those tall buildings and looked around at the flat plain, it's absolutely amazing.
You could be in Texas.
Yeah. And the city of Berlin goes forever, by the way.
Right. But let me put this in perspective that, Germany lost World War One because they basically just ran out of food. One of the reasons that World War II happened was at the end of World War One, the Germans were actually sending significant amounts of food and material to the front, and the German army, when they surrendered, the units actually marched in formation, singing and playing band on the way back to Germany. So they weren't conquered in any way, shape, or form. In truth, the country was starving to death and living on bark, but they took care of their people at the front. So after World War II, the Germans got really close to winning it all, and they sort of went too far. And by saying they went too far, they went to Russia. They didn't need to do that. They could have got all they wanted. But, there's historic issues there. So when you look at Germany, coming out of World War II, they knew they were going to be vulnerable. And they set about, instead of trying to conquer people, getting people to try to participate first with, I think it was the European Trade and Industrial Union. And then that spread out to a larger structure, the Steel and Coal Association. And eventually you get the collapse of Russia and the rise of the European Union. And the only reason you have a European Union in Europe is that Germany basically said, if you join us, you'll be able to borrow money at the, 3 or 4% cheaper than, you do now, closer to what Germans have. And oh, by the way, if you're Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece, what's commonly called the pigs, you'll be able to borrow at less than half the price. And you'll be able to use those borrowings to buy brand new Mercedes and BMWs. Oh, happy day. And that's really what happened. Interest rates dropped to basically the German level. The Germans got the best of all deals. Instead of having a Deutschmark that would trade right now at probably 155 to the dollar, that means $1.55 U.S. cents for every one German Deutschmark,
right.
It trades right now at $1.10. So that devalued, this is what Trump was talking about last night, mm-hmm. that devalued cheap currency explains why Germany exports 50% of its production. But the only way it can continue to do that is basically to have financed the customers that are going to buy the BMWs and the Mercedes-Benz. And that's when Deutschmark comes in. So although Germany looks like a wildly successful country, it's only wildly successful because they've got a sucker bank that takes on a lot of really bad loans. Hmm. And that's kind of the same story of China. And eventually, like all banks, you run out of other people's money.
Right, right.
And that's what's happened with Deutsche Bank.
Now, Deutsche Bank, as I understand it, and we were talking about this with Red prior to this, but about 3 months ago, I can remember, maybe you might know the exact date, but there was a thing that I saw about Deutsche Bank not honoring people's requests for gold.
Well,
was that a clue back then that there was a problem?
Yeah, they kind of have. I mean, the Germans make their own rules. Don't ever expect the Germans to, really, because they say they're going to do something, they're going to do it. They've had a long history of changing the rules in midstream. But I think the issue with Deutsche Bank is the issue with Germany. And if globalism is going away, then everybody's going to leave. And they'll all be able to devalue their currency. And, oh, by the way, they're going to leave behind all those bad loans at Deutsche Bank, and you know, Deutsche Bank's going to be in a country where the currency is going to skyrocket, and you're going to have the combination of a banking crisis and a trade crisis, and that is revolutionary in Germany.
Now, again, we're not talking about you know, a billion here and a billion there, but we're talking about trillions of dollars.
That's right. That's right. You know, we're talking about 450 million people, more than the United States, a bigger market than the United States. You know, it's spread out all over the place, but more importantly, there's more people in the European Union, about 456 million, than the 319 million in the U.S. And you know, when the financial crisis started, the U.S. had banking leverage of about 26 to 1. That means when you put a dollar in deposit,
right,
they would loan $26 against it.
Right.
Which means you basically had maybe, you know, 4 cents of collateral. Well, the U.S. is actually, you know, through the good news is the U.S. has cut that leverage from 26 to about 13. So we really have, for every dollar of deposits, there's about $8 of loans, which means there's 12 cents of cushion in the U.S.
So we've basically, we're kind of in the catbird seat in a sense, but I want to come back, Chris. We've got the music coming up, and we're going to talk to more of Chris Street about what's going on with the D-Bank and what's going to happen in the United States, because this is not $1 billion. This is multiples of a trillion. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20-milligram generic sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-297-6668 to get your generic sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-297-6668 to get your generic sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-297-6668 now.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street, and we're talking about the banking crisis that's, well, it's starting to become a big one. We've been talking about the banking crisis for quite some time and trying to get everybody prepared as best we possibly can. But now, all of a sudden, we've had a number of events that have taken place with Deutsche Bank, and we're finding out they don't have any gold reserves. We're finding out a whole bunch of things. We're finding about all their debt that they've really been kind of hiding. And I think that's probably a critical thing. They haven't been really as forward and transparent as perhaps the bank should be. Is that right, Chris?
Well, I think they've been forward and transparent, Paul, but nobody's thought they needed to watch because it was Germany.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been writing about this now for almost 4 years.
Right.
That it, you know, the story isn't the growth of the German economy or the growth of the Chinese economy. It's what the engine of that growth was, and what the engine of those growth is banks. So Germany went, as I said, you know, the U.S., you know, deleveraged. We got about 12 cents of collateral for every dollar of loans. Germany started out at around 36 times leverage, about 3 cents of collateral, and they're, you know, probably gone down to that to about 40. Now, China went from about 35 dollars of loans for every dollar of deposit to about 48. So the leverage is enormous, and that's really what the growth has been. It hasn't been internal, you know, productivity or growth or consumption. It's been more bank debt. And the problem with bank debt is eventually somebody has to pay it back.
Right. And this is what people have been warning about for years, Chris. And, you know, there's got to have to be some payback for all this stuff. And I know that we're musing with Red Smith last hour and talking about that the whole debank thing. And other the pigs in particular, you were part of the conversations at the time over a year ago. We were really raising the red flag, and now here's that red flag. It's right in front of us.
Well, and I always caution people, you know, that crisis always come when the last naysayer finally throws the towel in. So, you know, Europe, interestingly enough, is actually starting to grow again. I mean, if you know, have such a, you know, almost a permanent recession for 10 years, eventually get a little growth. So you're actually getting some consumption growth, but it's coming from the pigs. They've been under austerity because Germany promised that they would backstop the pigs. And of course, when the pigs got close to defaulting, Germany said, well, I really wasn't serious about actually backstopping you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to let you suffer.
And so, which is what we've been seeing for the last 6 or 7 months now, big time.
Right, but when countries actually suffer, they start to do some of the right things. The costs get down. You know, as sad as this is, people go back to work. They're willing to work for less. And, of course, they get more competitive. And that's what's really sort of happening. The growth in Europe is coming from the pigs. And it's Germany's game, you know, that's getting long in the tooth.
Well, now, that brings us up to Nigel Farage and the Brexit. And right. What happened there, because the timing was brilliant to pull out of the EU at this point in time, because obviously Nigel Farage is saying, we don't want any part of this business. He understood what was going on with the D-Bank.
Well, that's exactly right. But if you're an elitist living in Frankfurt or Berlin or London,
Munich,
you know, or Washington, D.C., you know, you hear all that. You can be a humanitarian because none of those people, you know, those people are going to live in your neighborhood. I guarantee you they're not going to resettle any Syrians in Chappaquiddick, right?
No, that's right.
You know, Chappaqua, right. Or what do you want to call it? You know, this is the way it works. You know, they don't resettle these people in the Hamptons. You know, they resettle them with, you know, the middle class or the lower middle class, and they just dump them in there. It's good politics. And it's actually good for Walmart. I mean, more people eating, more people shopping. Great for Walmart. It's even better if the federal government is willing to give them tremendous amounts of money. But it's not so necessarily so good for the people. And that's what happened in Germany, is you brought 1.1 million refugees in last year. And, you know, they weren't the kind of people that want to go to Germany for a job, because none of them had any industrial skills. You know, these are people that, you know, we're coming off poor farms and such like that from Syria, and they were going to get a $5,000 check for themselves, their wives, and their kids the day they got to Germany. I mean, $5,000 to the rest of the world is just a moonshot. Most, I think 3 billion people in the world live on $2 a day or less.
Right, right. And, of course, the increase in refugees, not only culturally and socially, but economically, it's been an overburden that they cannot, and I have to ask the question, this refugee crisis has certainly played a big role in the exacerbation of the Deutsche Bank.
That's that's not true, Paul. I'm not gonna agree with that one. Deutsche Bank likes more people coming in. You know, they like more economy. They like more consumption because they're a bank.
Right.
The problem with this is not, you know, the refugees. That's another argument. The problem with this is they can't play their game because they've cut off loans, you know, to people like Greece and Portugal and told those people to make it on their own. And if you have the combination of slow loan growth and deflation, you know, that means the banks are getting hammered on both sides of it. And that's why, personally, I believe we're in the last death throes of deflation. You know, everybody says this time it's different. You know, bring out the Bible, bring out the Zoroaster, you know, bring out the ancient Hebrew texts. And, you know, it's never different.
Well, you know, I want to go back to the people in the immigration thing. Are you saying that really this whole immigration thing with the hundreds of thousands of and millions have gone over there have not had any kind of financial impact or burden on this on Germany?
Well, it's had a financial impact and burden on the country of Germany, but not on the bank of Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank didn't get involved in that, you know, riffraff, as they like to say. You know, Deutsche Bank was involved in the Richie Rich. You know, they were financing all of the purchase of the German production, you know, Mercedes, BMWs.
Right. And I want to get to the point about how it's affecting, then who was supplying the, as I understand it, in the German system, the bank is part of the government, like the post office, everything's the government there. But in the case of D-Bank, they obviously have some ties to funding for these people that are coming across, or is it just all the local communities that are footing the bill here?
Well, that's right. They dump them in the local community, and the German Central Bank, you know, provides the funding for the federal government, and it's not hard for Germany to sell its bonds because, remember, they export, you know, 50% of their production. So there are tremendous amounts of, you know, business relationships country to country. But the problem isn't the refugees. The problem is financing those exports. I mean, the exports really aren't competitive unless you provide the bank loans.
Well,
which means the bank loans aren't good.
Well, it seems to me, and I'm trying to focus in on the local thing because the strategy for this president is to bring immigrants in, illegals and so on, in, and then put the overburden on a local community, a Cloward and Piven type of strategy, where they flood a local community with perhaps even more immigrants than the population of the local community, and it becomes the burden of that local community to finance these people. We're seeing this like in Twin Falls and other places all around the United States as the government is doing this. And I was wondering if that mechanism is very similar to what's going on in Germany. It seems like it is. Seems like they're following the same pattern. That's what I was trying to get at.
Germany's already done that. They already have control at the central government level.
Right.
In the U.S., you have this state system. You have this local system. So you're right about bringing – when you bring all of this burden, all this regulation, and all this cost across, you know, what Obama and his elitists call flyover country, you know, which is everything, you know, from Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Yep.
And
Ten seconds.
And then there's flyover country until you get to Chicago.
Yep.
You know, but it's those people in flyover country that, you know,
they're
aren't going to vote
they're getting Democrat. Screwed right now. Hang on, Chris. We got a break coming up. Stay with us. More Agenda 21 ready to come.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
Now.
talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. And boy, I just happened to have that in the queue about the immigration system. And there's enough laws on the books. Well, it didn't seem to think so. That was a four-year-old clip. And the president came up with a dozen more plans to help the immigrants come in. And it's so timely because we're talking about how they're financing these immigrants. And it seems that the burden of financing immigrants, not only in Germany, and we're sort of gotten away from the Deutsche Bank situation, but we're going to get back to it. The financing mechanism apparently is similar to what they're doing here in the United States, which is financing these immigrants, these illegals, as I would call them, that the president is bringing in, swamping our cities and communities with, and as Chris was pointing out, the flyover country, because it really is happening in the central part of the country. They're overburdening the local communities and tapping into their treasuries, which we've known about, but there's no subsidy, nothing coming from the federal government into these communities, except for the churches. And this is kind of an interesting thing, and this is where I'm going with this, Chris, is that the churches and their relief agencies are getting billions of dollars from the federal government to house, feed, and shelter these illegal immigrants or these immigrants that they're bringing in.
Yeah, Paul, that is a tricky game that's being played in a really, really big way by establishment churches. And, you know, I understand the well-meaning nature of it, but remember that Obama is not stupid. He has a strategy.
That's right.
Breaking the capability of federal government to finance local issues, then the local government has to reach to the state. And the state has to reach the federal government.
Right.
And when the federal government brings money down, they bring it down with tremendous, you know, rules and tremendous.
No, they federalize.
The latest one, I don't know if you know this, but the UN working group just came out and said that the United States owes reparations,
right,
you know, to Black Americans. And I think what happened to Black Americans is horrible. And, you know, there's a consensus on it that it's horrible. You know, but at one time there was a consensus that, you know, a Black person was 3/5 of an individual. So be careful about consensus.
I agree. And it's horrible. Well, this is just another legacy factor for the United Nations and their horrible nature. Let's get back to what's going to happen to the United States. How is this going to play out now with Deutsche Bank? There's got to be a cascading effect because they're not going to pay their bills. And what about the banks that are under them or associated with them or touching them?
Well, I'll give you something that seems like a radical comment. I believe that quantitative easing, you know, the three roles of quantitative easing were not about the United States. They were about bailing out Europe.
Right.
Now, you look at the United States, remember that there are, I believe, there are a number of primary dealers. I think it's 36 right now. You know, only 13 of those 36 primary dealers, these dealers can, you know, deal directly in U.S. government treasury bonds from the treasury. But by being those, you know, being in those 36 banks, it gives them tremendous access to capital markets. So those European banks were able to borrow from the Fed at 5 and 10 basis points through their U.S. subsidiary and turn around and repurpose the money back to Europe. So a lot of people were angry at the Fed, not understanding that the Fed's policy was really to bail out the European financial system. Now, you can say that is proper, or you can say that is improper, or you can say that is flat out insane. You know, one of the problems with bailing somebody out, help giving them a helping hand, is it becomes a way of life. And for the United States, fortunately, we have deleveraged borrowing in the U.S. But at the same time, the federal government is leveraged up tremendously. You've doubled the U.S. national debt, and I can't see where it's added jobs or build any new freeways. I mean, we are, I think Trump was right. You take a look at our airports, you know, they look third world.
They do, yeah. They do. But, you know, getting back into this, though, and what we've been doing in terms of deleveraging and so on, if you take a look at the United States today and our debt, and this is really, I think, the best way to explain or for people to kind of grasp on to what Obama has been doing in terms of upping our debt. Now we're, you know, I don't know, $20 trillion.
$20.7 trillion.
But who's counting? You know what I'm saying?
No, there's actually a clock, Paul.
You can, I know. I have the clock. Yeah, actually, on my website, you
hilarious.
Can see that clock. You, but I've got it kind of hidden around back there. But you can actually plug into that, and every once in a while, I go to it. But this is what Obama has been doing in plain sight, and nobody's understood it.
Well, it's, you know, you hired an amateur, you got amateur hour. You know, this guy had, you know, gone to university. He had read, you know, what the university believes, you know, is the economics that work in the real world. Of course, their real world is government. Most, when you look at most universities, you know, even if they're private universities, they're heavily, heavily tied to grants coming from the federal government. So when you look at all this research and what they do, they're just sort of an extension of the government. And to them, you know, it's the government's economy, the federal government and the state governments like California economy, that's really bankrupt. You know, if you look at the private sector economy, the private sector economy, you basically told them, don't build any new factories, you know, don't invest any money, or we will tax hell out of you and regulate hell out of you, because it's the right thing to do. So, you know, the private sector didn't do that. But if you look at what's, you know, teeing up in the United States, if you get a change of trend, which we are at right now, from globalism, you know, from Wall Street back to Main Street, you've got this very deleveraged banking system that could go on a lending, you know, boom. And I believe that we're going to have the roaring 20s again from around 2021 all the way up to around 2036, where you'll actually have demographics and economics expanding dramatically. It's going to be the biggest growth boom in the history of the country.
Well, you know, that begs the next question. What's going to happen here in the United States? Let's talk near term, within the next 2 weeks.
Well, I think the next 2 weeks, you know, Hillary Clinton is on the verge of collapse. You know, the one thing about the Democrats is, you know, you've got to kill to eat. I mean, that you've got to win to eat as a Democrat.
Right.
Now, if you lose, you really don't have a private sector to go back to. You know, Republicans, they lose and, you know, they go on and do what
right.
they do. But for Democrats, this is a life and death struggle.
It's
and
dependency.
As Michael Moore said, you know, it might have sounded good to the elites what Hillary said. It's about the same conversation that they had in the UK about the Brexit. They didn't know anybody in the UK that was for the Brexit. You know, when Donald Trump's up there talking, they don't know any of the people that Donald Trump is talking about. You know, their people are international. You know, they benefit from all of this, you know, sort of game that the federal government plays and the crony capitalism. But I think that when you turn that in a different direction, I believe whether it's Trump or whether it's Clinton, it's going to happen anyway because Congress is going to go there.
Right.
And the country's going there. You're going to have a populist rising that's going to reject central federal government, and you're going to end up dispersing much more power out to the nation. And that has always been, you know, closely tied to giant economic booms.
Well, you know, that's been closely tied to, hello, the Constitution. What a concept.
they came from a depression. People don't realize that the United States after the French and Indian War, there was essentially a depression after the United States. You know, economies all pumped up during the war, and then afterwards you have a big recession. And the UK, the English, rather than suffer the depression themselves, they decided to tax the Americans.
Hold that thought, because this is where the revolution begins, ladies and gentlemen, and the Constitution starts to step forward. And somehow we're going to get back to this Constitution, the whole notion that following the Constitution and abiding by it, which scares the heck out of people like Hillary Rodham Clinton. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-297-6668 now.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Breslin and the Agenda 21 Show.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio with Chris Street, and we're talking about the financial collapse that's going to happen. It's already started to happen. We're starting to see we're actually at that tipping point where the cascade effect is going to start happening to various countries and so on because of Deutsche Bank. It's the whole fallout. And Chris and I were talking about what's going to be happening in the future, and Chris brought up some interesting things that we got onto, and that is that perhaps when we start orienting ourselves back to the Constitution, our U.S. Constitution, become constitutionalists that will perhaps be a little bit better off than we are today, especially with our financials. We have strayed so far away from the Constitution. And, Chris, you're bringing up the point that with the French and Indian War, we were in debt. Great Britain was in debt. There was a big problem, and we somehow managed to finance our way out of it, finagle our way out of it, I guess you can say.
Well, we didn't finagle our way out of it. What happened was that we had won the war. You know, it was a great accomplishment. Lots of new land came. They had started an economic boom, and the British had been fighting, of course, over in Europe, and were pretty worn out. And they saw this economic boom in the United States in the colonies. They decided to tax hell out of it. And you know, it probably made perfect sense if you were, you know, somebody in the UK and you wanted to spend some money, and why not go, beat it out of the colonists? And that was really the issue. And once you started taxing the colonists, you basically started another recession in the US. And so this is what really built up to, the Revolutionary War. It was, when things were going good, the British taxed away, the economy. And when you look at what's going on in America right now, that's exactly what Barack Obama has done.
Right.
Why would you be surprised that he's taxed away the economy? And it's been good for the people at the top because they really operate at the federal government level where the big dollars are.
Right.
But when you get down to Main Street, look around at your Main Streets, yeah. It's been pretty bad. When you take a look at Germany, I mean, they perfected the system, but now you have one bank in Germany, Deutsche Bank, with 61 trillion derivatives and a banking system in Europe that has $46 trillion in loans. And if the big guy goes down, it's going to take the rest of them.
Chris, this notion of the derivatives came up, and I quite frankly had a brain fade at the time, and with the Orange County bankruptcy and all that stuff, the history behind it, sir, I should have remembered it. I could not remember that word.
I mean, this is nothing. There is nothing new under the sun.
Absolutely, this is one of the points I'm going to try and get to. But if you can kind of briefly explain to the audience what a derivative is, because it has so much a special connotation, especially in this particular position with the Deutsche Bank and gold and so on.
Okay, a derivative simply is, just think about Jolt Cola. Remember Jolt Cola?
Yeah, Jolt.
Jolt Cola.
J-O-L-T. Jolt.
Right. Jolt Cola looked like a Coca-Cola, and it had twice the sugar and twice the caffeine. So it looked like a cola, but it had a lot more leverage associated than cola with sugar and caffeine. That's what derivatives are. It looks like a bond, but it has embedded in the bond a contract that allows for massive leverage, and usually that leverage, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 1.
So in other words, they can take that bond, which is basically a piece of paper, and leverage it out.
They don't need to take the bond and leverage it out. By buying the paper.
The paper, right.
They accept not only that they have a bond, but they also have the option in the bond that they can make a lot of money in, or they can lose a lot of money in. So when things are good in derivatives, they make a ton of money. Remember, Bob Citron was the number
Correct.
One short-term investor for 13 years in the United States. I mean, this guy was a real goofball.
He was the former treasurer of Orange County that Chris
That's
and I
right.
ran across.
That's right. He was kind of a not a really athletic sort of fellow. But he had this bizarre thing where he'd wear turquoise jewelry all the time. And, he was just a strange fellow. But I discovered him, long before Orange County went bankrupt, and found out that Bob Citron, this kind of, squishy kind of guy, county treasurer in a, quiet position, had taken $6 billion of cash that he had in his investment account, and he had leveraged it to $26 billion. So he was basically leveraging payroll 4.5 times. Now, most people really don't want their payroll to be subject to
he's the county treasurer
up or a stock market down. They're not getting a paycheck because they wanted that bet.
And he's the county treasurer, ladies and gentlemen. So
it's the county, and this is all in, of the other county treasurers were doing some of it, but Bob Citron was number one because he was doing all of it. This is sort of like Lehman Brothers, exact same story.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, and ladies and gentlemen, we're dating ourselves. This goes back to prior to December 1994 that we're talking about, Chris discovering these things. And, of course, Chris and I were doing parallel investigations. We didn't know each other at the time. And when Orange County went for bankruptcy, we got to know each other pretty well, and because we figured out some of the things that were going on, the scam, the scheme that was going on. And there's many, many stories about this. But Citron had leveraged the bond, leveraged the money in the county treasury, right. You know, to this degree. And this is not anything really different than what they're doing with Deutsche Bank right now with their gold, is it?
Well, once again, he started off with leveraged loans, and I outed him in a big scandal that he was on margin 450%. So he said, oh, no, I'm reducing that margin. And all of a sudden his margin went down, so he wasn't borrowing as much. But what he'd done is he'd taken his leverage down by buying derivatives. So, you know, derivatives internally are leveraged instead of showing debt. So one of the problems in all of these financial crises is it looks like assets and it looks like debt. But when you get in and actually have the crisis, you find out that it's not assets and it's not debt. It's lots of derivatives. And so nobody really knows just how much risk is in Deutsche Bank, but they know if Deutsche Bank goes upside down, that it's going to take out all the other banks that are associated and have relationships with it.
Okay, now this is something, and we're getting into the big specifics of what Red was talking about as well, is that it basically it's just like tentacles on an octopus, and that anybody who touches Deutsche Bank touches or has touched is going to be affected by their misuse of derivatives and derivative behavior.
Well, remember, they've had decades of being able to borrow money cheaper because of being associated with Deutsche Bank. So in a sense, you know, they've lived the good life, and at the end of the tail of this is what's called risk. So a catastrophic event could wipe out, you know, decades of cash flow.
Well, and it's kind of the same thing that we were hearing about all the entities in Orange County, such as your school boards and your city councils and so on.
They were all in on it.
They were all in on it. Yeah, they were all in. And I don't believe that most of them had a level of understanding of what they were all in on, actually.
Well,
until people like Lehman
exactly
Brothers.
Exactly, no, but they didn't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point that I was going to make, is that and some of them didn't know, like the guy at the Placentia Yorba Unified School District, Kim Stallings. He was as dumb as a stump about him. I had to explain it to him, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, what's this guy doing explaining to this guy? And
he's probably good at education, right?
Right. Well, no, I wouldn't even say that. But you know, he was the guy. He was the target, and it was clear to me that the Lehman Brothers and all these other people that were coming around. That were trying to sell them these expensive trans tax revenue anticipation notes were all part of a scam. You figured it out, too. You had it all down before I did. But anyway, stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We've got another break coming up, and we're going to be talking more to Chris Street about what's going on with DBank and, what's going to be happening to you, what you should be doing in the meantime, because this is kind of like a prepper moment for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. This is big.
Prepper. That's the right word, prepper.
Prepper. Here we go. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-297-6668 now.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio with your host, Paul Preston.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, visit our website, a21r.com. And by the way, the crisis is coming. And I think we're kind of spelling it out here. This has been breaking news the last 2 hours. You've been listening with Red Smith and Chris Street. And get prepared. Really, this is the time now to get prepared. Get the things that you need to survive at least for a good 30 days. And we are offering here on Agenda 21 Radio Food for Liberty / Preston Preppers. It's true, Preston Preppers. And if you need survival food, if you need anything to keep your family sustained from a prepping standpoint, you can order from Food for Liberty. Go to our website, foodforliberty/ Preston Prepper. You can see the icons there, and you can log into it. It's the best way, the most efficient way. I buy it. I have got it stocked up in my house. And I know that in the coming days and weeks, we're going to need this stuff, all this stuff, to stay ahead of the game and to keep our heads on our shoulders. And we're going to be keeping a close tie on what's going on here on this radio show to the events around the world, as we always do. And again, it's the globalists that are at it again. And I would tend to agree with Red Smith, as he was saying in the last hour, that he's saying that this is not a cold, calculated event that's going on here with what's happening with D-Bank and what's happening with China and the IMF wanting to make the Chinese yuan the world reserve currency. This is all happening on Friday. And then, of course, the Internet's supposed to be disrupted and taken away from us by October 1st. Whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. But, gee, don't you love it when a plan comes together? All these things happening at one time, it seems to be a little bit odd to me. But, you know, and again, I am a conspiracy theorist. I absolutely am. But anyway, visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and it's a21r.com. And please feel free to email me, Paul, at a21r.com. Now, some of you have been calling me. I've been getting phone calls from my listeners, and I really do appreciate it, wanting re-explanations after re-explanations and so on. And I promise, now, I did rerun for listeners this morning. I did rerun the scenario. There was a clip that people wanted to hear about that links Bo Bergdahl with Michael Hastings and all this stuff. And we did play that, the Subud cult and Dr. Jason Kistner, that part. I did play that, and it'll be up on our website so that you can go to the podcast and listen to it, and a little bit later on the YouTube as well. So anyway, visit our website, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com. And like I said, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.